Cliff Central.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Renegade Report for the end of May. Not actually sure my microphone's even coming through. I'm not hearing myself. Ramon, can you hear something?
I can hear you.
Right, well then, if you can, we're fine.
Yeah, we're fine.
How are you doing?
Good. It's my birthday week, so I can't complain. Don't forget, this Friday, 3rd of June.
Yes, the great leader would like you to send him gifts, if you can.
Or at least adulation. On Twitter.
Sacrifices. If you do sacrifice a goat or a cow, please, should be in Ramon's name.
Yeah, no dogs, please.
No, of course not. We're white people. We like dogs. Okay, so this week we decided you'd been spoilt for guests. So,
that's actually quite false. We are worried. Sooner or later, we're actually going to run out of interesting people to speak to.
which means we have to be interesting. Or something like that.
Something to that effect. I think I'm quite interesting. You all right?
I'm all right. But boring for your likes, eh?
A little bit. But
are you tired of me?
Not yet.
Apparently, Googs. She's not a well-known DJ for some other stations, but she's very tired of certain people in our society. One of our previous guests, actually, she's tired of Jeremy Nell.
And Sapiro, and let's get into that.
Well, go for it.
Well, what a wet panty this man has become. I mean, really, no.
Yeah.
It was a very boring cartoon, in fact. The metaphor was very obvious. You know, monkey references to black people is problematic. I think it is problematic. But if it's done in satire, you sort of understand why he used it. I do think it was a lazy cartoon. But to apologize for being a satirist.
Well, the cartoon made the point. I think it's debatable on the race thing, to be quite frank. Sean Abrams is a colored man.
Well, has he self-identified as a colored man?
Well, we don't
how
know.
How dare
but,
you?
But as social justice warriors, we have to take on his plight. We know how he feels, and we assume his lived experience just based on his skin color. So let's go with that. You've got Jacob Zuma as the organ grinder. So really, I'm battling to see it, because the black man actually is the guy who's got the power in the cartoon. So very debatable. I agree, not the best cartoon ever, but I think it made the point, frankly. The biggest problem is Zapiro, actually, because he apologized. And what the hell was he thinking?
It's like you had a job, say you're an accountant, and you save the company 100,000 rand in a tax avoidance scheme, and then you say sorry for it. It's odd. Like, you're doing your job, and someone says, oh, that's tax avoidance. And you're like, oh, yes, I'm sorry that I did my job well.
Yeah, well, he's a satirist, for goodness sake. It's just unbelievable. I think he comes out worse from this, not because he drew the cartoon, but because he's basically turned around and gone, okay, sorry, if my satire offends you, then I will say sorry. And assumptively, he's going to probably self-censor from now on, which means from being probably the top, or at least rated as the top satirist in the country.
Well, the second one after Jim. no bias whatsoever.
None. But regardless, he's one of the top satirists in the country, and I think he's going to pretty much end his career on his own.
No, that's a bit much. I just think, you know, someone or some people just need to say fuck off to idiots.
Oh, for sure.
It's fine to say that. It really is.
Well, it's 2016. If you say sorry, it's blood in the water. It's simple as that. It's blood in the water to these
because,
piranhas.
Because if you do say sorry, you're admitting that you were at fault, or that they are correct and you are wrong.
Well, it's not only so much that. It's that if you say sorry these days, it's even if you say sorry for one particular thing, then you become sorry for your entire existence. We've seen this repeat itself with people who do apologize for things that have happened on social media, where you apologize for what I did yesterday, and then suddenly you're being reminded of what you did 3 years earlier, and oh, you know, yeah, you're a racist and you're all these things. So
yeah, that's true. They do pick up. I don't know. These people must screenshot like 5 years beforehand and say, I'm gonna use this one day to really nail this guy.
Trust funds buy them very expensive phones so they can have large memories.
Yeah, Dropbox helps, I suppose. But anyway, enough about Zapiro. He shouldn't have apologized. It was a crap cartoon anyway. I mean, and that's the worst part. He gets nailed for like a really shit cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We do want to move on from him, but maybe they should get upset about the Lady Justice cartoon. I mean, that was all black men trying to rape Lady Justice. So isn't that a race issue?
Yeah, back in the day. You know,
he's portraying them as rapists. That's incredibly racist.
Well, yes, arguably that's his most famous one. And I would argue, very controversial. But like as was Charlie Hebdo, they're controversial. But that's the point. That is the damn point.
Yeah, and as someone said to me on Twitter, you know, oh, but maybe he went too far. Satire can't, by definition, go too far. That's what it's meant to do. It's meant to go too far. And if you feel it went too far, then, that Zapiro went too far, really, it's the same as saying, well, the Charlie Hebdo guys kind of deserve to get shot. Because, no, they went too far. And, you know that if you upset these people, they're going to come and kill you. So, eh.
Well, that argument, I'm all in favor of free speech, but...
You're offending me with your free speech.
But here's the thing with free speech. If you do believe in the principle, you cannot have any conditions on it. Because the only things that you have to protect are those things that are, you know, those ideas that are dangerous or those ideas that are offensive. Because no one's trying to censor, you know, I don't know, someone on 702 talking about potholes, right? No, but you are trying to censor people who push the envelope and trying to make points that are deeply uncomfortable. So if you do believe in free speech, you have to not have conditions. Well, that's my opinion.
Yeah, free speech absolutism, which in theory is the only way it can really work, because who decides what can and can't be said?
Yeah, so when Malema sings, kill the boor, kill the farmer, go ahead, mate. I think it's perfectly legitimate. But, other people don't think that.
Yeah, you don't believe in hate speech as a concept or incitement to violence?
No, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's assuming that people are not don't have agency. So somehow like this leader will tell them,
go kill people and they just will.
And they just will because they have got no agency. And if they do kill people, that's a crime and they can be prosecuted for it. So what's the problem?
Yeah, interesting. But I think we know you stand there on that point on free speech.
Oh, absolutely. And you have to be absolute about it. I mean, you can't be, I'm for pregnancy, but no, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. It's not it's not but in there. But talking about social media outrage, let's talk about this. It's not new by any means.
I don't know what you're going to next because there's been so much.
But let's talk about this warranting of trying to destroy people's careers through stupid statements on social media.
Yeah, we had it again this month. We had it. I don't think we really want to discuss the incident itself.
Well, but there was a judge, and she said a few bigoted things, which I think are bigoted, but we don't know the context. The conversation was screenshotted, so we couldn't really see the context. But I'm less worried about what she said. I'm more worried about reactions to what people say. Like, people really, really think that because she said these bigoted things, somehow that she's destroyed perhaps, innocent lives as a judge by sending black men to prison for maybe, even though maybe they weren't rapists or anything like that. And I find that very difficult to understand.
Well, I think it's a fair worry if you can back it up with facts. So, a judge's rulings will be our public record. Anyone can go back, look at her rulings, and see what people were charged with, how she ruled, how she sentenced. These things are open. So if she was an unfair judge and she had ruled unfairly, we would know because, once that broke, we had a whole bunch of not only social justice warriors, but their friends in journalism really shining the spotlight on that particular person. So I can't imagine had she been a very unfair judge and had she been biased in this way, that it wouldn't have been picked up. So I'm going to assume, and I'll put the caveat of the assumption being the mother of all fuck ups, but I'm going to assume that she probably hasn't been outwardly biased in any of her rulings. Otherwise, it would have been picked up by now.
Well, I mean, we must understand that rape is extremely difficult to prove. Real evidence is required. So it's not just based on the judge's, feelings about the accused. It's about what evidence can be provided by the prosecutor in this case. So I don't think one should go back and say, oh, okay, so she said a few bigoted things on Facebook, so somehow her whole record is under suspicion. And despite the fact that she actually has adopted two black children at the time.
Yeah, but Eusebius has said that doesn't matter. That doesn't count, Ramon. I mean, come on. It's like saying you have black friends, which I'm still trying to understand how that doesn't provide some insight into a person. You know, the reality is that, Eugene de Blanche didn't have any black friends because he hated black people. So the reality is I do think that cliche is quite funny, and I understand the humor in it when people go, oh, no, I'm not racist, I have black friends. I get that. I get the joke. But I don't think that you can just dismiss these things if your starting point is this person hates people based on X, but yet is very friendly or has raised people or has contributed to their livelihood completely willingly. That doesn't sit with me.
Well, I think it's a valid defense of against if you are accused of racism. It's like, well, I've got black friends. I think that's a legitimate defense. I don't know why that is belittled. I do, as you said, I mean, I do see the funny bits. That's the first port of call for most people who are called out. I mean, like Matthew Tennyson, I would argue, is a damn racist for using the K word online. But he's a racist against Fikile because he used it in context to talk about quotas in sport.
Mm.
But he says he played rugby with black people and whatever. I actually don't care. Racism is so boring to me now. I've had enough.
All right, let's get back to that issue then of this obsession with, we found a racist this week, because some people, as far as I'm concerned, must be getting paid to do this. I don't know if the political parties are paying them or if there's some cabal. I know this sounds very conspiracy theory, but it just seems odd that people who otherwise need to earn a living are literally spending most hours of their day fighting against Facebook and Twitter racists. So unless there's benefit for them out of that, and I'm not just talking about writing books, because books don't earn money in South Africa. You can be J.M. Coetzee and you still don't earn good money off books. So I'm convinced people are getting actually paid for this. But the this thing of we found one, and now we must destroy them. Like finish him from Mortal Kombat. It's just like I'm not sure I get it. I for me, it almost becomes those people who want to destroy that person become worse, way worse than that person, because there's an intrinsic kind of meanness and nastiness to wanting to make sure that someone cannot afford to feed themselves and their children. Like I would never do that to another human being. It just doesn't seem right to me.
But I think it comes from this vindictiveness. It comes from a strange place. It does appear that somehow, people who do this think that there's some sort of, utopian ideal of human nature. Like, people should be all like progressive and they should understand, social justice rhetoric.
Well, it's a social justice world.
But if someone has bad thoughts, like, who gives a shit? Like, really now? I mean, Maria at home, my domestic worker, she may want, in her thoughts, she's thinking, oh, what a white dick this Roman is, whenever he's here, because
I hate his podcast.
Yeah, I hate his podcast. But do you think I care? Like, if she has bad thoughts about me, or who knows what thoughts people have. But if you're with him, if you have a purported racist on social media, block and ignore. I mean, that's maybe an option. And number two, just say, oh, you're a racist prick, I'm not talking to you. That's another option. But why, like, elevate them to this, like, you know, this, like, this is like the new, you know, racist Hitler of South Africa because he had a few words on the screen that I disagree with. Like, it's pathetic. Like, it is so odd.
And then, as you say, go after them to destroy them. So, you know, if they're an entertainer, then we try and make sure that they can't do that anymore.
Yeah, then you petition the sponsors of this. Why are you dealing with this racist? I mean, what kind of company do you think you are? Like, it's a private contract between the entertainer and the sponsor. Like, it's not my. I don't give a shit who sponsors who. You know, Gareth had to go to court to say, what did I say wrong? Oh, no, nothing. Oh, okay, cool. But what is the purpose of all this?
Well, it's that utopian ideal that you speak of, which, you know, I mean, I think in the Care Bear world that social justice warriors want to live in, where nobody ever says anything that hurts anyone else's feelings and everything is kind of perfect and Bernie Sanders is their president and, you know, socialism works, you know, in a sort of parallel universe to Venezuela. They think that is something that's achievable, and it just is completely so far from reality.
And there's an assumption that the people who believe, you know, purportedly racist thoughts, like, they are, like, inherently evil. And that's wrong, in my opinion. I think racism is stupid. It's complete ignorance. But I don't think people who believe racist thoughts are necessarily evil.
Well, the chances are you come across bad people pretty much all of your day. So it's, you know, what you're saying about people thinking things. You right now might be listening to this walking through a shopping center or driving your car. The reality is people all around you are probably racist. Some think bad things about their family. Some might be planning a murder. Others are having an affair. These are all things that are happening all around us. It really is very inconsequential to just getting on with life. It's neither here nor there. It's and trying to stop all the bad things, especially thoughts. When we've discussed that sort of concept of seeing thoughts as these things that need to be policed. It's Orwellian. There's no other way to put it.
Well, yeah, it's thought crime. So I mean, you can be prosecuted for what you think. Yeah, and that's a bit fascist, mate. For someone who's a liberal and you say, oh, how dare you say those things, or how dare you think this, or what I love the best is like, oh, you said this, so obviously you think that this happens then. No, how can you know what someone's thoughts are?
Lovely man. Well, I mean, you know, who are we really to talk about this since we lost all our credibility a month ago? You know, according to
one journalist.
According to part-time journalists, let's be honest. According to one part-time journalist, we lost all our credibility. Just a reminder that it's been a month since we, with your help, raised quite a bit of cash for a waitress who was racially...
No, but let's call it what it is. Tipgate, mate. Hashtag tipgate.
Yeah, hashtag tipgate, of course. Because... You know, it was such a scandal. it rocked the country to its core. Since we did that, that waitress received that cash. Been a month. Obviously, we, as you know, received a lot of abuse. We've been through this, but in that month, our detractors have done sweet fuck all.
For the most part. However, I have noticed an uptake of crowdfunding on social media.
Yeah.
There was that poor guy from Cape Town who was thrown off a train, Darren August, I believe.
Mm.
He was he is paralyzed. But they raised like 400,000 rand from him just from donations on social media and elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think a lot of good came out of that. But I think we showed people, I mean, despite our intentions... As we keep saying, we expected $1,000 to come in.
Yeah.
But anyway, but we showed people.
Be honest, Ramon. Be honest. I mean, as Rory accused us, you know, we were just doing it for marketing, really. You know, I mean, there was no altruism there.
Well, whatsoever. Rory must look at something called externalities. It's economic, so I understand.
Yeah.
If he hasn't heard of it.
And it's Thomas Sowell who talks a lot about it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, externalities is a common theme in economics. It's about.
Of course, Thomas is racist, so, you know.
Yes, for a black man, horribly. 82-year-old black man. But no, externalities is, you know, the byproducts, the unintended byproducts of an action. And the byproduct was we became more popular. Is that bad? No. Do I care? No. Do I care that other people say it was for marketing? No.
Yeah. We don't give a shit.
As Gareth Van Onselen said in his column, it was the 150,000 rand that we and others raised was 150,000 fuck yous to Rose Must Fall. That's his view. Mm. And it's true. I don't care what people thought when they donated to us. I think most of them were like...
Screw Rose Must Fall.
Yeah, screw Rose Must Fall. And where's Rose Must Fall been, by the way? Oh...
Yeah,
with the court order.
Yeah, we missed that at the beginning of the month. They got completely annihilated.
Oh, that judge wasn't kind, and they got a court order against them, 250,000 rand.
And there were eight of them who've got to pay that back. Something like that.
I think there was three of them that had to pay it back. One was there was 11 in total. One was dismissed, and three or four had to pay it back. I mean, Chimani Maxwell is one of them.
Mm.
And then, but did you read the court order? It's fantastic.
The pieces. I mean, I do find legal stuff quite boring.
Yes, but the arguments they made. So the judge had, you know, the kill all whites is hate speech. Okay, I disagree with her, but fine, that's the law. And then the guy said, no. What actually we meant to say was skill all whites. The S was missing on his T-shirt.
Oh, no, that's fantastic.
And then then the judge asked, so why did you have like cans of petrol with you in the shack? It's like, oh, no, just, you couldn't give an answer. Obviously, it was to burn down something.
Well, the violence is not getting better. I mean, we've had, the month started middle of the month, I think it was Vuani. You know, all the schools burnt down.
The third force.
Yeah, well, of course, the CIA is doing that, don't you know?
And he happened to be an ANC councillor. Fantastic. Huh?
Yeah. It's either ANC councillors or sort of EFF supporting folk.
No, the guy was arrested.
The Vuani stuff. The Roads Must Fall and the guys at Wits, at least, are quite EFF aligned. And then actually they tried to burn down the library at Wits the other day.
I saw the gas canisters.
Well, I say they. I don't know who they is because they haven't caught the guys. But... through some gas canisters. I suppose that is how you decolonize a library, a university, you know, burn down its library, you know, because decolonization must happen.
I'm still trying to see the difference between decolonization and vandalism.
No, well, there is no difference. It's tear things down. It's destructive regardless. They're starting to reap their rewards because it's about a year since they pulled that statue down and Rose Must Fall came to prominence at UCT, and UCT are now starting to retrench staff, and sad as it is, I won't necessarily be that mournful for staff who voted in a clearly biased election to chuck the statue based on really what was intimidation and not processed thought.
Let's go back to that word again, externalities. Unintended consequences of an action, and that's what you get. I mean, but it was inevitable. I mean, fees must fall, you know, they've got, the university's got a current account deficit.
Yeah.
It's got an account deficit. The subsidies have fallen, fees have been, registration fees have been frozen. What can they do? I mean, I do think universities need to exist.
The other thing about fees must fall is that universities don't operate only within universities. So a university buys books, they pay staff, etc., who live in the real world. And so everything else goes up. The university has an increased fees, so it can't afford for things to go up. So people need to go and standards need to drop because... the realities.
But universities are becoming archaic anyway. I mean, I don't... What is wrong with my idea of having free Wi-Fi in the whole country and just, you know, signing up to online courses? I don't understand.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea. Have you ever noticed how humans, if given the option to sit on their couch and watch TV or sign up to online courses, do the former?
No, but here's the thing that irritates me about universities and the state in general. There are so many easy solutions to problems that we face. But because the state has so much money that it steals from us, it has to spend that money in an, air quotes, accountable manner. And so it has to spend every single fucking cent it has to show that it's doing something. And because it has so much money, it just pays a lot of consultants. It pays a lot of people who are useless at what they do. They build stupid shit no one cares about. Just privatize everything. Let people with their own money start their own schools and give a voucher to poor, you know, poor parents for their kids' education and let the parents choose. Like, people make choices. I won't say they're rational or irrational, but they make choices that think best helps them at the time. Why is the state coming in and saying, oh, but we think it's a good choice for you, you know, to go to a university or a school in your geographical area? Why? It's pathetic. I don't understand.
Ah, yes. Well, we've got a, we actually got an interesting guest coming up on this topic, so I don't want to get too much into it.
Right. That's next week.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it. We've got a month of awesome guests coming up. So if you're hating this so far, keep listening. But
and let us know, please. Send us a tweet or you know, an email at renegadereportmailbox@gmail.com.
Yeah, of course we use Google.
Of course we do. Yeah, just let us know if you actually want these more often, or must we find some mediocre guests of the official media to come in and talk nonsense?
We'll find people who are prepared to come on the show. I think we should have a deck of cards we should release, actually, of all the people who block us and refuse to come on the show.
That is nothing we need to talk about.
We could collect them all. It's like,
because we actually do want people to come on who actually disagree with us.
Yeah, and, however, and some of you have actually pointed this
Jonathan,
out. You know,
can you please stop mansplaining me? Can you please stop mansplaining me?
I'm going to manspread all over you right now.
You. But
right,
anyway,
carry on.
We really do want people who disagree with us to come on the show and have a proper discussion of ideas. But these tossers just block us on Twitter when we ask them. And like, they just like laugh at us when you say, do you want to come on? And we give everyone a platform on the show. We haven't said, oh, we only want to discuss, you know, this. No, we welcome anyone on the show, but they refuse to join us. So if you want balance, you're not going to find it here. Because first of all, we don't want to be balanced, because balance is bullshit. But second of all, maybe if you can petition people you think, you know, have good ideas, who are against our ideas, please let us know. And we'll be glad to get hold of them to come on the show. But it's amazing that people don't want to discuss their ideas publicly.
Well, they'll discuss them publicly within an echo chamber. They don't want to be challenged on their ideas. And well, I mean, that's really the problem with their ideas, is that they won't allow them to be open to the free market of ideas.
Well, that's a good thing for us, because those ideas will die out. Because if an idea is not challenged, it cannot evolve, it cannot improve.
Yeah, look, I also happen to think, and this podcast is fast growing, it's you know, been very popular, and it is gaining in popularity. We'll make no secret of it. We intend it for it to be the top podcast show in the country, and we're getting there. Likely top five in the country by the end of this month. I think, just like Tipgate, as there's sort of more money involved in that example, and as there will be more listeners involved in this example, and, you know, we suddenly have more of a audience than part-time journalists and race baiters, etc., they may very well try hop on here to use the platform. And I can only hope that will happen, because we'd love to have the debate and discussion with them.
Yeah, I mean, people do mistake. I don't, as Gareth Cliff says quite often, he doesn't hate anyone. I don't hate anyone. Like, I don't hate Eusebius or Conrad Koch, whatever. I just think the ideas are stupid. But it doesn't mean that if I see them in public, I'll, you know, punch them in the face or whatever. So, I mean, if you are listening, and I do suspect some of you are listening, please do come on the show. We won't, you'll have some nice coffee. You'll have some interesting conversation. And yes, your ideas will be challenged. But you know what? That's called growing up.
Yeah, you can challenge our ideas too. You can pull in and tell us we're talking absolute crap, and give us the facts and the stats and the evidence. And hey, you may even sway us on stuff.
I sincerely doubt that, but they can try.
Absolutely. So What do you think about Captain America? He's you know, he's become social justice now.
Well, no, they want to make him gay or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, firstly, those of you who read comics.
Firstly, have you seen the movies? He's got a fucking spandex costume on and a big shield and a face mask.
And his main reason for living is for saving his friend Bucky.
He's not gay already.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Have I missed something?
Yeah, and then, of course, at the same time, there was the demand that James Bond becomes Jane Bond.
A female, so
yeah, because it's misogynistic.
So will she be
and sexist?
Will she be a lesbian? How can you have Jane Bond and a Bond girl?
No, well, I assume she'll be a female who's heterosexual, or who knows? Maybe she's Bond, who's transgendered to Jane, who then has decided to keep her dick because it's a female dick, and then, you know, still sleeps with women. I really don't know.
And but then she will fight against organizations that don't have transgender bathrooms. I can see this happening already. But talking about social justice films, have you seen Ghostbusters, the new one? Well, I haven't seen it, of course. But it's the most hated video on YouTube. It's got over a million dislikes.
I have to be honest, though. Like they missed the point of how a market works. Like, I've watched the trailer. I really liked the original Ghostbusters, but I think they had their time. It was the 80s.
I've never watched Ghostbusters.
They were good at their time. It wouldn't have been one of the films I would have thought, ooh, I really would like to see that being remade in 2016. But I've watched the trailer, and it's not something I'm going, ooh, I really want to see that. Not a lot of trailers that I say that to, but you know, I don't watch a lot of movies at the cinemas these days. You know, my white privilege doesn't give me that much money. But it just they seem to have completely missed the point, because it hasn't been particularly well received, and they think that this has got something to do with the fact that they remade it with women, and most of those actresses on there are actually really funny. I enjoy other movies.
I like
Melissa McCarthy's great. Kristen Wiig is great.
Yeah, they're all funny. I mean, even the director, he directed. Oh God, what are that movie with? He does Melissa McCarthy a lot.
Yeah,
Bridesmaids. Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good. The only problem is, like, from the beginning, you know, it's like pure ideology. They keep pushing in your face. It's woman Ghostbusters. I don't give a shit if it's woman Ghostbusters. Is it good or not? I looked at the trailer. It looks really shit. Okay. Dislike. Doesn't mean I'm a misogynist.
Yeah. It's this kind of stuff where we sort of jump to the wrong conclusions in the hopes of pushing some sort of agenda. This happened this week with this gorilla. You know, we saw everyone. I'm sure you know the gorilla story by now.
The one in Cincinnati that was taken from his home to protect white privilege.
Something like that. Yeah. So the
I saw that tweet.
Child,
what a muppet.
So child falls into gorilla enclosure. Or gets into gorilla enclosure. Gorilla sort of grabs child, drags the child around, and zoo keepers eventually decide, all right, we've got to do something, and they shoot the gorilla dead. We can have long discussions about whether they could have made a different decision.
Very, very simple decision. Both of them should have been shot, because A, that kid will grow up to be a rebel and possibly a drug user, and he'll be dead at 25 in a gang. And the gorilla, actually just shoot the kid, to be honest. Who cares about the gorilla? He's a vegan. What's he going to do? Oh, wait, maybe shoot him because he's a vegan. That would be great.
Yeah.
The amount of fucks I give about this story and the moral quandary is, like, extremely low.
It's not so much the moral quandary. It's just the... I think people feel that maybe they could have tranquilized the gorilla.
Who gives a shit? Let's talk about the reaction, though. So, yeah.
The tweets come out.
This gorilla was taken from his home in Africa, and he was shot to... protect white, I can't even say the straight face, to protect white privilege.
Well, the tweet that you're referring to, I'm going to try. I actually killed myself. That gorilla was taken from its homeland, put in captivity, and then killed to preserve white life. That sounds familiar. To which I actually responded that the gorilla was actually born in Texas. It was part of a zoo breeding program, and the child was black. So this is the thing. The social justice warriors don't actually check their facts because, you know, but facts might hurt their feelings.
There's a video of the incident on Twitter going viral, and they don't even bother to check it out before making a statement like that. I mean, yeah. Come on.
And listen, there wasn't just one tweet. There were lots. If you go to Paul Joseph Watson's timeline at Prison Planet, he actually put together a little montage of all the sort of tweets which assumed that this incident somehow had to do with race and oppression, and somehow linked back to black people, which in itself, once again, is completely racist, because we've got a month in which we're saying Zapiro is racist for drawing a person of color, inverted commas, as a monkey, and now we're using a monkey incident to try show our oppression. I'm make up your fucking minds. I mean, really,
it's different countries, but still. Here's the base of the story. Some stupid kid walked over. First of all, the zoo should have been fucking sued for thinking that a kid, you know, if the kid could get through, like, obviously their measures aren't great. Mm. All you had was a stupid kid walking into the enclosure and a gorilla dragging it around. Like, that's it. Why putting all this metaphysical bullshit, social justice warrior rhetoric to an incident of, like, utter stupidity from both sides?
Yeah, absolutely. Child wanders into cage. Animal acts like animal. That's the end of that.
It's called Occam's Razor. The simplest explanation
is the truest explanation.
Yeah, it's stupidity on both sides. But oh my word, I'm sure a PhD thesis will be written on this.
Well, in gender studies or something like that. Sure. Yeah.
No, remarkable. But anyway, I think they should have just shot the kid and then that's it. Story
shot
over.
Okay, so I don't think they should have shot the kid. I think I need to say it there, because sometimes you listen to these podcasts and then you attack on Twitter, and it's fine. I bear in mind, it's the water off a duck's back. But I'll give an example. The last show we did was the drug show,
right?
In which the essence of the show was we should at least minimum decriminalize drugs and potentially legalize all drugs. Cool. And some people can't see the difference between us saying decriminalize and legalize drugs with us saying go out there, folks, and smoke some crack. So we are saying, yes, you should be free to smoke the crack if you want to, but we're not enforcing that. We're not saying you should, you must. We're not even saying drugs are good. I still, as a doctor, will tell you that these drugs are harmful. I don't think you should do them, but I believe that you should have the freedom to do them should you want to. Simple as that. It's a freedom argument, not a drug argument.
So what did some? I missed the hate, obviously.
No, I mean, it wasn't hate. Our listeners are reasonable and they do raise their points in a fair manner. But they missed the clarification between I would like people to have personal freedoms, including the access to drugs, or at least not to be arrested and put in prison for having drugs, with, oh, no, you must take drugs. You know, there's a massive difference between those two things.
So you're saying someone didn't listen to the podcast, made an assumption, and then attacked us with that assumption?
I think they listened. I just think they misconstrued what was meant. So there's the clarity if you needed it.
Well, dummies, just listen to the bloody podcast properly and then say, are you saying promotion or decriminalization? Then we'll answer you, but don't say, how dare you say promotion when we haven't. Very simple process.
Yeah, you must understand it's Ramon and I, other than Ramon's vape pen, which he's busy sucking from, as you can hear.
It's not a vape pen.
What is it? It's a vape cigar.
It's a vaping device.
Seriously, Ramon, like that thing, he has his own carry bag that comes with his vape.
A fanny pack.
Whatever it is. I it's huge. It's honestly twice the size of his hand.
That's what she said. What else happened this week? I mean, I don't know. What do you feel like talking about? To be fair, I was just dragged here this morning without any... Okay, well, I had fair warning about 2 days. But I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
We've done well so far.
Even now, I still don't know what the hell we're talking about.
You're talking well. Just calm down.
And if you do like these sort of solo shows, and we have them on a consistent basis, I mean, we'll have more structure to them. We're just testing it out for now.
Yeah, I think what we'd also like is a little bit of your feedback and interaction, because if you email us, Twitter us, tweet us, catch us on Facebook, whichever way you find to get hold of us, or phone us personally. Ramon doesn't like that idea. Please phone Ramon 2 a.m. You're welcome to get his number from me. We want to know what you want to hear. We want to know what you want to have discussed and what topics you want us to go into.
Well, I'm going to tell you, in some respects. And don't take it personally, but consumers are stupid people.
Why would I take that personally?
No, not you. I'm talking to the listeners here.
You're all idiots.
Consumers are like a bit dumb. They want like their little petty thing to be spoken about in an hour-long podcast.
Well, my mother asked me to talk about something on the show, and I said no.
It's like, but talk to I don't know, who's that quack, Patrick Holford, about why vitamin C is good for AIDS. No, we're not going to do it.
No, well, I mean, yeah, I think there are some people we would probably not really be interested in giving a platform to or discussing anything with.
Ooh, you know who I want to speak with? I want to speak to, okay, Andile. He's blocked me. Has he blocked you yet?
I actually think I might have blocked him, to be honest.
What a racist. But anyway, so the best thing ever happened to Andile. His property got repossessed.
Yes.
All 6 of them, by the way. So then he moans about it. He's saying, oh, these white companies are against black people. I'm like, Andile, your policies have been enacted against you.
Yeah.
You want people to repossess all land. He wants the state to repossess all land.
And we have a land expropriation bill that was just passed through Parliament.
Well, that's just property expropriation. But anyway, so I really want Andile on the show. If anyone knows how to get hold of him, I do see him sometimes at Fishmonger in Rosebank having a nice glass of wine. But I don't interrupt romantic dates. But if anyone does have like a personal email address, we would love to have him on.
And then what? And then we can discuss?
No, nothing. We'll just let him rant for an hour. It's brilliant. Have you heard him? He's fantastic.
I think I blocked him because he was so anti-Semitic. I was just like, I don't need to see this in my feed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's interesting how all these things often kind of the intersectionalism of social justice.
Please, intersectionality, Jonathan. Oh, please so use sorry. The correct noun. Is it a noun? I don't know. But anyway, did you see the Egyptian, who was it? Interior minister? Or something he called other African ministers dogs and slaves yesterday.
Yes, and I told you very clearly, you asked if that was racist.
But can Arabs be racist? Well, it's difficult.
Of course not, you Islamophobic prick, as I said to you on Twitter.
But it is weird. Why would a minister say that about other ministers in his presence? But we have to talk about like racism in the Arab world, because they are the fucking most racist thing, people in the world. I mean, if you look at surveys, India is the most racist place ever. If you're not an Indian or like a bit of a freak, because they love like dwarves and things like that. In some places.
Where do you get this?
Watch a documentary called An Idiot Abroad. It's fantastic. With Warwick Davis, the Ewok from Star Wars. It's, he goes there.
What's his name's production?
Ricky Gervais.
Yes, that's it.
But anyway, in a survey in 2013, ironically, the least racist country in the world are the ones with the most white people. And the most racist countries are the ones with the least white people. So the Middle East and India are extremely, extremely racist. And not just a particular race. They just ask them, you know, questions about how would you feel if, you know, someone from another country moved into your neighborhood or, you know, that sort of question. Yeah. They didn't say a black person or a white person. They just said another person. And they all said, not a chance. Whereas in Europe and America, they don't give a shit. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had the Chinese this week upsetting the whole world. I don't think they give a fuck, but didn't you see that ad? There was a washing powder ad in which basically Chinese housewife, and she basically washes the black guy
domestic
white.
Executive, please.
Chinese housewife. Yeah, but I'm not changing my language for social justice. They can F off. Now I don't know why I'm censoring myself. Okay, so they do this ad, wash the black guy white, basically, and the world goes nuts. Understandably, it's a racist ad.
No, it's
no
completely
doubt.
Racist. But the Italians did it like 2-3 years ago. Exactly the same sort of ad. But then the response from the company, you know what the response was?
Yeah.
They said, everyone needs to lighten up. That's what the ad company said after the fact.
Literally, lighten up. Is that the words they use?
Everyone needs to just lighten up. It's a joke. Oh, my word. I mean, That's a fucking racist ad. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, the Chinese companies actually pulled it subsequently. I saw that this morning, that they have pulled it. But I'm quite interested that they did do that in the first place, because usually these kind of territories, you know, it's a Chinese ad playing in China.
Right.
They don't usually care what the rest of the world thinks. You know, and bring up the Middle East, you know, they don't care about the West, you know, Western values, so to speak, and you know, non-bigotry and liberalism and things like this.
Well, no, they're a bunch of commies. I don't give a shit.
I don't know. What is the Middle East, actually? The Chinese are communists, but the
oh, they're theocracies.
Yeah.
Most of them, yeah.
And they are relatively capitalist in some respect, some of them. Dubai is an example.
Oh, yeah, it's crony.
Yeah, it's a mess. All right, yeah, we'll talk about the Middle East at some point. We are trying to organize an overseas guest to discuss the Middle East, terrorism, sort of Islamist fascism, those kinds of things. So we'll get there, don't worry.
We'll get there. We'll also hopefully speak to someone in the US about the elections, when Donald Trump will win. How great will that be?
Yeah, he's going to be the president. I think you all need to get over it. Like, I called it in July last year.
Oh, look at you.
Exactly. Myself and Mduduzi, both called it. Yeah, he's almost definitely going to win. Hillary is number one hated, and she's actually got a big problem with these emails. I don't really get the huge issue with the email thing, but the Americans seem to be losing their minds about it.
Well, yeah, it's all, you know, they were like fetishized state security. Apparently, she used a non-secure email server to send emails of a personal and of a, you know, her job. Like those personal emails and business emails together.
An unsecure server, and anyone could have found the emails.
Yeah, but like, I mean, what harm was caused? Has any, like, you know, WikiLeaks does far more harm than fucking Hillary Clinton saying, you know, dinner's at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
At Donald Trump's house.
Yeah, it will be an interesting time. I see every day there's some new sort of kind of atomic sort of nuclear theory on how Donald's going to sort of completely cock up the world.
Oh, but let's talk about that now. So, people, you know, go on a circle joke about democracy being so grand and voting is wonderful, it's your civic duty, until fucking Donald Trump arrives. There's like, oh, how dangerous is this? And the fact he's got, and we try to psychologically analyze people who vote for him and why, you know, if he comes into power, he will be so destructive. Yeah, so suck it, bitches. That's what happens when you vote, right? That's what happens when you get idiots together to vote for someone. So don't blame the system, because you're the one that fucking endorsed it the whole time. So if Barry Obama wins it, oh, it's great. Look how progressive we are. That very same system gets Donald Trump into power. You're like, oh, no, the system, there's something wrong with
it. The system's bad. Fuck. Well, we know this in South Africa. We have our very own Donald Trump.
Kenny Kunene.
Well, you could argue, based on the destruction that's been done and the destruction they claim Trump will do, that Zuma's no different. And he let's be honest, guys, he got voted in with an overwhelming majority. He got 60%.
Yeah, Justin Malala said this last week. He had to think, claim your man. Because you're so sick, he said last week. You know, people
By your man.
People moan about Zuma and this. And he's like, listen, people, you voted him in. I mean, you're sort of responsible for everything he does to some extent.
Except justice doesn't go far enough, because he does the, you know, he'll push it to that level, and then he'll never say, you know, vote for someone else. He'll stop short. And that kind of irritates me a little. I mean, I love his stuff. But it irritates me that he won't.
It's not his duty. He's there to tell the facts, not to tell you how to vote.
Well, he doesn't have to tell you vote for X party or vote for X person. But if he's saying the guy's so terrible, and he has influence, this is the thing. This concept that you know, you're going to get any kind of real change if you don't get so-called influencers, because these people do exist, not in the sense of social media. Very often those people influence no one. But someone like Justice probably does have fair influence. And I think it would be helpful if he was saying, you just can't support the ANC with this guy in charge.
Yeah, but we know that. But who to support? If you had to make a choice, dear listeners, go look at the IFP policies. Some of them are actually fantastic. Much more liberal than the bloody DA. IFP and UDM, two fantastic parties. They've got excellent policies. And why are they minority parties? Because they're too liberal, maybe.
I don't know if that's the reason. I mean, no one knows that the IFP's got liberal policies because they spend so much of their time towards the death of their party, essentially, fighting over tribalistic type of issues.
No, but look at the manifestos. Look at the manifestos. They're brilliant. More power to provinces, legalization of marijuana. I can't remember the others now, but like a fiscally conservative type of government. It's great. They're all good policies, and they're the only ones, punting it. I mean, you got ANC, ANC Light, and you got, Stalinists. Okay, man, not that bad. EFF, like Leninists, Marxists. Like, there's no choice there. Go for someone who's small, but whose policies actually matter to you, if you do vote, of course.
Perhaps for a national election. I don't think for a local election that's a wise decision. I'd go for one of the bigger parties for a local.
Are you telling people how to vote?
I might
So that's fine. If I tell people not to vote, then I'm the evil one.
No, I've said you can tell people not to vote. I just think it's a silly position because the system we have relies on voting. We don't have a system. It's not going to break down because you don't vote, and it's not going to break down because 10 million people don't vote because they already don't vote, those 10 million.
But if the majority of people say no one votes it, that system's illegitimate.
But that's never going to happen. That's not how people work. It'll never happen. Oh, it'll never happen that nobody will vote.
Mr. Psychoanalyzer.
But people don't. It's the same as that thought experiment where the professor sort of says to the class, if you, I'm probably going to mess this up, but something to the effect of if you want 5% on this paper, select A. And if you want 50% on this paper or 50 extra marks, select B. But if more than 20% of you or whatever select B, then you get nothing. And always they get nothing because the logical thing would be for everyone to select A and get the 5 extra marks or whatever it is, but they always go and select B. So you can't, and there's always a split, obviously. It's not everyone. And that's the point, is you say not everyone must vote or get everyone not to vote and the system will collapse. I agree, it would collapse if everyone didn't vote, but I just don't see that happening. We've seen it with our guests on the show. You'll never convince Sihle not to vote.
Yeah, but he's a damned DA sycophant. Don't worry. I still love you. I know you'd listen. I still like you, Sihle. But
I think you said love. I think you should stick with love.
Well, I love him too. So I got a black lover now. That means I'm not racist like times two.
No. If you say something racist, you will still be racist. Ron.
Right. Right.
It doesn't matter. You can't wipe out racism. You are racist anyway because you're white.
Just for that.
This is a fact. You have oppressed others. You personally,
for
being white.
It's not a very high standard, if I'm honest.
No.
But anyway, what?
Are you bored now? We're almost at end time.
Just so getting warmed up, to be honest.
yeah, I can kind of hear that.
What interesting books have you reading? Are you reading?
Myself, nothing interesting to the listeners at the moment.
Other than Mills and Boone and You magazine.
Yeah, sort of 50 Shades of Grey runoffs. Nothing too interesting at the moment. I'm doing some studying, so. If you want to know about physics or pharmacology, we can have a chat.
No, but dear listeners, if you do want a book to read, read Why Nations Fail. It's phenomenal. It all those myths you think about, for example, why Africa is shit, and people use the culture or race or geographical. You know, they use all these excuses to wonder why Africa is crap. It's not. It's about political institutions and Ethiopia. Was a great empire for hundreds of years. And Why Nations Fail shows why political institutions actually help make nations great. So if there's one recommendation, that's the one. It's a brilliant book.
Good. Thank you. That's useful. I actually been meaning to. It's on my to-do, but life. So we'll get there. Any? I think we can call it there. Any final words?
No, nothing at all. So, well, thanks for listening. Let us know what you think of this. I mean, it was very unprepared, but the next one won't be. So if you want to hear just us talk about things, let us know and we'll carry on doing that.
We're gonna basically do, you know, a summary of the month almost. So we'll look back on the issues that happened during the month and chat about those. As Ramon says, it will be a little bit more formulaic in future, but we do like to keep it a discussion kind of show. There are great podcasts coming up in the month. Next week, do we want to drop a hint? Free Market Foundation?
I said no. Okay. Yes, next week, the head of the Free Market Foundation is coming in. Good chat. The week after that, we're still confirming, but the month of June is going to be, as they say, lit. Because it's my birthday month.
And woke. Right. Thanks for listening. At Renegade Report, at Renegade _ Report on Twitter, Renegade Report on Facebook. You can email us. We would really appreciate that. RenegadeReportMailbox@gmail.com. You know where to find Ramon and myself. And next time.
Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.